You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
What's up, everybody? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On today's episode, we have two very special guests, Eric, better known as Pacinos, and Mauricio Londoño. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you very much for the invitation,
bro. No, man, thanks for being here. I've been wanting to do this with you and with you for quite some time, and I'm glad the three of us are here because, Mauro, you introduced us recently at Billboard. Was it Billboard Week or was it before Billboard Week?
It was at the Latin Grammys Week last year in Las Vegas.
No, you guys.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
We were at the Mandrake that day with DJ Khaled and Nicky Jam and all these people.
Yeah, the reopening of the Mandrake restaurant, yeah.
And that's when you introduced me to Eric, and dude, I love what you have going on, man.
Appreciate that. You have
a serious track record. Just to give everybody a little bit of background, Eric is an entrepreneur. Mauro is a content creator. He's in the entertainment space. He's worked in radio. He's extremely known because of his podcast. And I seriously look up to the content he creates. So it's honestly an honor to have him here. We're used to speaking in Spanish because of our Spanish audience. But on this audience, we're going to go English, obviously, because you guys listen to us in English. So thanks for being here, guys. And let's not ignore what we have in front of us right now. This is one of your creations, man. Why don't we talk about this a little bit?
Absolutely. So this is basically just years of being a barber.
Right.
Understanding all the different hair types and hair textures. And then me basically just branching off from the barbershop and saying, you know what? I want to come out with my own line of hair products, not only for the clients, but also for myself, because not only am I the CEO, but I'm also a client. So everything that you see here is basically things that I actually use, you know, from the shave gel to I have hair fibers, because especially now that I'm a little older, you have thinning hair like a lot of us men. So I came out with hair fibers, hair sprays, a beard pencil, because again, as you can see, it's like, being a barber, everything is about attention to detail. So all the details for me is like, you know, key. And so for me, I was like, all right, sometimes I don't want to have to put color on my beard. So let me just hurry up and do a quick fix with my beard pencil filler.
I like that. So there's a lot of you that are watching. There's a lot of you that are listening. If you're listening and don't know what we're talking about, we're sitting in front of some men's grooming products by the name of Pacinos, which you can find where?
In Target, Walgreens, CVS. That's here in the United States.
Right.
Here in the United States, we're on about 10,000 point of sales.
And only?
Proud of every one of them. And then in the Latin America, we're in Mexico in Farmacias de la Oro. We're in Honduras, Farmacias Simón. We're in Colombia in Éxitos, Carulla. And then we're in Brazil in Mundo de Caballeros. So, you know, we're trying to do the whole Latin America thing. And then we're also in Europe. We're also in the UAE, we're in Watson stores in Dubai, we're in Superdrugs in the UK. So I'm just trying to expand globally. That's my goal.
You're not trying, you're expanding.
I'm trying.
Ain't no trying, you're doing it.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Hey, so talk to me about your days before this, right? So, you know, you have this incredible brand that you could find almost anywhere in pretty much any country in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
How did this start? You were a barber. How was that process?
So basically, I started off as a barber. Well, let me take you a little bit farther back. I know I look like I'm 21, but I'm not 21. I'm actually 22. But this started many years ago before social media. I have to be honest. We had just moved from New York City into to Florida, and you know, my parents are Colombian. Yeah. And if anybody has,
we're all Colombian here, by the way.
Exactly. That's awesome. Colombian power. If anybody has any Latin parents, you know, parents hate to pay the electric bill, right? So like living in sunny South Florida, it was like hot. And I'd be in the bathroom cutting my hair like for 3 hours. And this is all in high school. And then like, that's where I started seeing, man, I really have a passion for this. And I started cutting all my little high school buddies in my mother's garage. And, you know, it just was something that I wanted to do. But back in those days, to be honest with you, it wasn't like the cool factor to be a barber. This is, again, way before social media. And so, you know, I always had in the back of my mind, I kind of wanted to do it. But I was like kind of scared to be like, hey, I'm a barber, because it wasn't like being an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor or anything like that. So it wasn't, in my opinion, at the time.
At that time, yeah.
Exactly. So anyways, long story short, high school, I'm about to graduate, and boom, I get my high school sweetheart pregnant. So now I join the Navy, take care of my family. When I get out, I can't find a job. And I said, you know what, man? I'm like, I need to do something that makes me happy. And I asked my mom, I was like, hey, if I can move back in with you guys, I want to finish up hair school so I get my license and I'm just going to be a barber. And then she was like, hey, mijo, lo que quieras, I said. And I said, all right. So I did that. And from that point, I never looked back.
What age were you?
I had just got out the Navy. I was 22 years old.
Okay.
22 years old and looking for a job. Like, bro, to be honest, it was like I got out and I couldn't find a job. Like I was looking in the newspaper and finally said like shampoo assistant. And I was like, excuse me, hairstyle assistant. So I thought I was going to go in there and cut some hair. He was like, no, you're going to be in here washing all these heads. And I was like, oh my God. So I was there trying to be like the best shampoo boy you could ever like meet because I was only getting paid $5 an hour. And
if
these women, when you shampoo their hair really good, they actually will give you a tip. So I was like, I need all my little tips coming this way.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of like the beginning, but understanding that, you know, the bigger picture, the guy that I was working for, he was running a whole operation. And I was like watching every little move. I was like, man,
this You're a sponge learning.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I was like, man, this guy's really making some really good money, you know, doing haircuts.
Right.
And that's when I said, you know what? Like, I need to just one day open up my own shop and pretty much, you know, have the same model. Just like have, you know, clients coming in, having different people work for me. And that was good. You know, the barbershop thing was good. But I always, for me, because I used to go like to Walmart and buy all these different hair gels and try to my hair. Like, my hair has always been like my biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so having thin hair, when you put certain gels on, like you see right through it and it looks like you're bald at like 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so then that's when I started to, you know, look into like what other hair products are out there. And I discovered the pomade. They were using a lot on the West Coast. And a lot of it was more wax, not so water soluble. Now, you know, there's a lot more pomades that are water soluble. And that's when I said, all right, I'm gonna get with a chemist and start formulating my own products, you know, more so for myself and for my clients. But again, more so just because at the end of the day, it's like, how am I a barber trying to, you know, do these hairstyles on these guys, and I don't know exactly what products to put in there.
Yeah, because it's part of the process too. Like,
absolutely.
Did you get a chance to open your barbershop, or you worked at a barbershop, learned, then maybe did cuts like on a one-on-one basis, private cuts, or how did that work?
So good question. So basically, I started off I started at a salon first, cutting hair, and then from there I went to another salon, and then while I was in that salon, I literally just started going to the nightclubs and I would shake the hands of all the owners and ask them, hey, listen, I want to cut your hair for free. And they're like, why do you want to cut my hair for free? I was like, I want to just utilize your bathroom. They're like, what do you mean you want to utilize my bathroom? I'm like, I want to put a poster of all my haircuts. And that's exactly what I did. They were like, all right, go ahead and, you know, do whatever you got to do. I'm going to get free haircuts, no problem. So I put a flyer that had all the different haircuts I would do. It had like my beeper number. This is how far back we're talking. I had a beeper. And then before you know it, like my beeper was blowing up and I started getting all these guys from the nightclubs coming to get a haircut with me.
Right.
So then that's when all of a sudden I was like, man, if all these guys like to go to nightclubs or come to my barbershop, what I have to do to maybe start doing a cross promotion and making some money at these nightclubs, not just going in there and putting my flyer. So I spoke to the owner. I was like, hey, listen, what night are you closed? He was like, Thursday. I was like, let me open up Thursday nights. And then let me go ahead and just bring all of my following to your nightclub. You keep the bar, I keep the door. So he was like, no problem. So then I started doing parties. And then with doing the parties, like I started meeting, you know, different girls that were coming there, you know, single moms. So it was just like one big cross promotion I was doing in my city of West Palm Beach.
Nice.
And then once the radio station came on board, I started to meet all the disc jocks, started shaking their hands and, you know, telling them, hey, let me just cut your hair for free. They give me like these shout outs. So in my city, it was like everything was all about Pacino's parties, Pacino's barbershop.
You built culture around your craft.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that.
Always thinking just cross promotion. How can I maximize what I'm doing? And,
right.
And that's always been my mindset with anything and everything. It's like, all right, this is going good for us, but how do we maximize this?
So yeah, essentially what I'm hatching from that is that you bring value to the table. So like, you know, you need something and you know who you need to reach out to,
yes.
But you reach out to them and you already bring value to the table. Hey, this is how I'm going to help you. I'm going to help myself as well in the process. You help me help you.
Yes. One hand washes the other. And it's all about just understanding. It's like anything in business. You have to understand first about, you know, what's your niche? You know, like what is it that you're good at? And then the second thing is like, all right, who's your demographic? Like who are you actually trying to, you know, reach out to? And for me, it was always like the guys that go to the gym and the guys that go to nightclubs. That was
because they take care of themselves. They always want to look good. They want to be fit. They want to look sharp.
And those are the people that don't mind spending a little bit of money.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it's almost like, all right, do I go for that or do I go for the guys that, like, you know, with all due respect, maybe they're, you know, they have a different interest and they don't really care about their hairstyle.
Right.
You know, so it's like I was always keen to that. I was like, all right, let me find guys that are a little bit like me in the sense of like they like to go out, spend money. They like to, you know, dress up. They care about their clothes and things like that.
Yeah.
So I was always like real keen on making sure I find my demographic.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that you, when you were working at the salon, you did it with pride and you wanted to learn because, you know, in salons, you're more used to seeing these types of products, especially back in that day.
Right.
Right. Maybe the barbershops weren't fucking with all these types of things.
Yeah, that's true.
So you kind of like got the chance to see how the women did it and how people who are men that went to salons did it. And, you know, you got to kind of understood that. Then you moved on to barbershops. But at the same time that you're doing barbershops or barbers, you're actually learning about marketing and promotions.
Absolutely.
And collaborations, which is through the clubs and all that.
Absolutely. And I think that's what helped me out throughout my career and still to this day is just understanding that, you know, again, if you get with somebody and you start networking, it's like, okay, how can we help each other at the end of the day? Because it can't just be about me, it has to be about we, you know?
Right. And the power of collaboration continues to happen because to this day you keep doing that.
Yeah, we just got done doing a collaboration with Shure Microphones.
Okay, so, yeah.
You know, that was actually thanks to this guy right here, Mauro. And again,
bro, you're a legend, man.
No, bro.
Like, he connects the dots, bro.
You work with them through your podcast too, right? Or you guys
just
have
work
some type
with
of
passion, bro. I just love to connect people, and you know, that's my passion.
So your shit started off in Colombia. How far back, Mauro?
In 1993, I started as a...
I was born in 1993.
Yeah.
I graduated in 93. That's damn. Scary. Yeah.
I started as an assistant, you know, for the DJ. And they only, you know, let me in the studio, and that's it. They don't allow me to talk on air or, you know, just answer the phone and people requesting songs.
Like so that's like an intern. You were almost
no,
like
bro. I was the assistant
of the
of
intern.
The intern. Yeah.
Oh my god! Oh, I didn't know there was a position like that. That's great.
Hey, but just like you're washing heads and you're learning, and you're assistant intern, and you're like in there learning all the processes. It was a radio station, right?
Yeah, because the intern, he was allowed to play, you know, the CDs. Yep. We were playing record labels, the vinyls, and the CDs.
Okay, right.
That was the intern's job. You know, he was allowed to do it. I was only the guy answering the phone for the music requests.
And taking requests and whatnot.
Yeah, taking requests, basically.
Because it was very different back then. There's no computer where you go, all right, let me put this song or mix it in. You actually have to put the vinyl on and somehow.
Sure. Wow. Every sound on air was human played, you know?
Wow.
The commercial, each commercial.
Yeah, it was punched in. On the spot.
Yeah.
So you had to learn the basics. Like,
and the timing, there is no space. You know, you need to be acting like a thunderstorm. Boom, boom.
And how long were you an intern before maybe you got on air?
No, I was just a listener, you know. But I was creating content in my room, you know, with a cassette player. You know, making my own radio show.
Right. And how did that go? Did you develop that into something else?
It sounds really, really great. And, you know, my voice was like a... chinmuck.
like you inhaled,
you know,
some helium.
There's no difference
in tonality
until now. But you know, I'm surprised that I was making content without knowledge. You know,
right?
Zero knowledge, and I'm impressed about that because nobody, you know, I was born in a little town, you know, with no radio stations, no opportunities, and I back in the days I used to, you know, put the alambritos with the antenna, connecting,
the wire,
trying to get the signal.
The signal.
The signal,
And did you always know that you wanted to be part of the entertainment industry?
No, not in that way, because I was passionate about the music. You know, I was listening to my brother's cassettes, you know, Cyndi Lauper, Rick Astley, Aerosmith, Bon Jovi.
And this was in Colombia.
Yeah, but it was my country, in my little town, Paco de Caldas. And my passion for the music, you know, takes me to the radio, to start listening to the radio.
Right.
And then I used to listen like 10 hours per day. I was obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there was popular radio programs in the night, you know, because there was no internet, there was no TV after midnight, you know, only radio.
Okay.
And the night shift was, you know, like a prime time.
Right.
And I used to listen to, you know, the late night shows until 4 a.m., you know, imagining things because radio is the theater of the sound.
Right.
And one day I was thinking, why don't I look for a job in the radio?
Okay, yeah.
I love music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where I started. I remember that I was calling to participate in a radio show and the DJ, you know, asked me some questions. Hey, bro, what do you think about the topics today? And, you know, And when we finished, I said, hey, don't hang up, bro. I need to tell you something. Can I go to the radio station? I've never been in that radio station. Yeah. Just let me go.
Give me a shot, bro. Put me in, coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, okay, come tomorrow. And, you know, the rest is story.
Hey, you got to ask. Yeah. If you don't ask, you don't get the opportunity. Yeah. Right?
No, and I remember that the manager of the radio station said, hey, who's this guy? Yeah. You're not allowed to be in the studio every day. And bro, I was every day going to the reception and they called the radio. Hey, bro, this guy is here.
Again.
Again.
So, again, man.
Yeah. You know, it was like a problem for the corporate because, you know, I'm not an employer. I wasn't an employer. I just was like an, you know, and how do you say intruso in English? Like
intruder, yeah.
Intruder.
Yeah, but somebody with hunger, and that's probably one of the best people you could bring on your team, honestly.
It is. I tell that to people all the time. I rather hire somebody with not so much skill set, but more passion than with a lot of skill set and no passion.
Yeah, you get, what do they say? Hire culture, train skill?
Man, I never heard that, but that's good.
Yeah. You know, they have the drive, they have the passion, they want to do it. Maybe they don't know.
Right.
But shit, they're going to work harder. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
That is 110%. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, bro, how did that evolve into what you do now? Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you do now, your podcast, and you know, in general, your personal brand?
He's on Spotify.
And he is one of the only video podcasts on Spotify in the Latin industry.
I told him he's going to be the next Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
bro. I love to have deep conversations with, you know, interesting people. Mm-hmm. I'm not pursuing only artists. You know, I most of the time I'm interviewing artists because, you know, I'm into the music industry, but my goal is to talk with, you know, actors, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, like you. So because my main goal is to leave a message for the, you know, the listeners, for the new generation of new, you know,
businesswomen, entertainers,
artists, you know, because right now we are overwhelmed with a lot of, I don't want to call it shit content, but you know, it's
there's
like
a lot of shit content out there.
You know, it's only for the click, for the view, for the like, for the comment, and
no substance.
We are distracted, you know, with that kind of content that for me is not giving you any value, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to create like, hey, bro, I learned this about this person. If he can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
I like the way, and just to speak on a little bit on what you do, from my perspective, being in specifically in the Latin entertainment industry, having a magazine and like analyzing how the industry works, you have one of the most sought after shows, podcast shows in the industry. Yes. Everybody wants to record with you. Everybody respects you. And I think it's also because you take the time to teach. So you bring on these big celebrities and these big people, but you also take time to use those people as an example to teach people that are coming up. Don't do this. Don't do this. Be careful about your reputation. Be careful about how you do business. I think that's very important. Yeah. And not a lot of people do it.
Yeah, and I'm sacrificing, you know, the views, because sometimes I have with me an artist that it's, you know, known for negative things, and I can focus my content trying to get the attention.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I'm, oh, bro, the devil is speaking to me.
Yeah.
Ask him the question.
Do it.
Yeah, you know, it's the sad part for
it's
me.
True.
But I think, you know, I'm focused on positive things.
And that's why brands like Shure want to fuck with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? Bro, that's impressive because when they launched the MB7 podcast, I was like, oh my God, that's the microphone that I need. Because, you know, $465 for the SM7B, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I say, oh my God, that's an expensive microphone for my podcast. I'm not making money.
When
I started and they launched the MB7 and I said, $250 sounds good.
It's
XLR and USB-S.
Beautiful.
And I produced a video on YouTube making a review and they saw it.
Right.
Oh, wow.
They said to me, you were the first video in Spanish making the review, and I said okay, and we were checking your content and we love what you do. We want to collaborate with you. That's how we started.
You guys want to know something interesting, right? Because my main thing, I'm a digital marketer.
Okay.
So companies pay me to run their ads and make them money, whether it's products or services.
Yeah.
So naturally, I post a lot of content online about digital marketing, or I consume a lot of content online about digital marketing. And check this out. The hashtag digital marketing in English,
right,
on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok specifically has less posts and reach than the hashtag marketing digital in Spanish. So there is an explosion of Latin content, specifically in the marketing world.
Right. Similar what is happening with the Latin music.
With the Latin music. Yeah, so these brands are, you do one of the first review videos for one of these brands. They see who you're affiliated with. They see your content is great. They're like, this person's perfect for it. You have found yourself in I guess, like, you got first mover's advantage here.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people are doing that. Other brands are going to be able to follow suit, kind of like Pacino's. Pacino's is a supporter of your show.
Oh, yeah.
And everything and
I'm very
doing.
Happy that Eric supports my content, bro. I appreciate your support.
Let's talk a little bit about how you guys came together on that podcast and how you're essentially a supporter and sponsor of Mauro's show.
Yeah, absolutely. So
checking with Mauro.
So I was in Las Vegas. I was actually out there for the Latin Grammys week, and we were also same thing doing an activation because I'm always big on just marketing. You know,
right.
I feel like at the end of the day, it's like, you know, people ask me all the time, like, you know, how do I get myself out there? You know, what do I have to do? I'm like, you just answered your own question. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you have to get yourself out there. You know, whether that means you physically or your brand. And you have, you know, a lot of times you have to pay to play, nothing for free. And so we did an activation at the Latin Grammys where it was us at a Mezcla and Puma. Mm-hmm. And so we had different artists coming by and we were giving out, you know, free gift sets to all the artists. And then all of a sudden Mauro came by and he's like seeing all my stuff. And from the minute that I started speaking to him, I just really liked his energy. Like, he was very, like, up-tempo, very positive, very happy. And again,
he's not trying to play a character. He's just Mauro.
It was just him. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm the type of person, I always like to invest into people. I'd rather invest into people first before I invest into anything else. Because for me, it's almost like, all right, again, I'd rather go to war with people that I'm like are going to be passionate about something than people are going to go to war with me and they have a good skill set, excuse me, but they're just not passionate. You know what I mean? So with Mauro, he was like, hey, whenever you're in Miami, let me know so we could do a podcast. I'm like, I actually live in Boca Raton. He's like, oh, bro. He's like, let's meet up. And then long story short, about a couple months went by. My friend DJ Pope was in town.
Right.
Jay Balvin's like best friend and also his DJ. And he was like, hey, man, I'm over here in Miami. I just did I produced a song for like Zion Lennox and this other artist. He's like, come down. You know, I'm at this video shoot. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll go, you know, come hang out with you. So I go meet up with DJ Pope and I'm standing there. And then all of a sudden, this guy's there. And then he's like, hey, man, ¿qué más parece? And I'm like, hey, what's going on?
¿Qué más pues?
Yeah, ¿qué más pues? I'm like, hey, man, Mauro, good to see you again. You know, we haven't spoken a minute because his schedule, my schedule. And so again, as I'm like speaking to him, I'm like, man, there's something about this guy. I just like want him to be a part of like me and my brand. Like, we have to work together.
Right.
So I told him, I was like, hey, let's see if maybe next week we really get together this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then I called him. I was like, hey, listen, I don't want to do the podcast yet, but I want to meet with you. I want to speak to you and see like maybe how we could just, you know, collaborate and work together. And then we met at like here in Miami and we had lunch and we had a great conversation. I was like, hey, look, I don't even know what to call this, but I'm going to support you. You're going to support me. We're going to help each other. Let's do it.
Right.
And that's like pretty much ever since then how we've just been kind of like, you know, rolling together.
Yeah, you guys are very connected. You're in every event ever. Like, ever.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You too.
Listen, at the end of the day, for me, it's always been that way with me. It's like, you know, like Mauro, like what he was just talking about, the radio station.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that story, but I promise you, that's me. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, if you just crack the door open a little bit for me, I'm going to find a way to get
I'm
in
gonna
there.
I'm going to bust through that motherfucker.
I'm going to find a way to get in there. And again, it's like, you know, I just feel like with anything, like, you know, I've worked with different artists and stuff like that, like, you know, top tier artists, like people like Puff Daddy, Jay-Z, Nas. And that's one thing, you know, I'm a big observer, and that's one thing that I've seen. And when I say I worked, I'm meaning I was like their barber, I would cut their hair and things like that, you know? And one thing that I saw working with, you know, top celebrities like that is like, they just want people around them that are going to be real and they're going to be themselves. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, everybody at the end of the day, you know, wants to do more for their career. But it's really about how you go about it in a respectful manner.
Right.
I mean, it's all about also the energy that you bring to the table.
Right. And, you know, I think this is a great moment to interject for the younger people that are listening to this. It's that. Yeah, I'll speak for myself. I've been wanting to work with a lot of big people in the entertainment or the business industry. And when I was younger, I was trying to figure out ways to get in. How do I communicate? How do I bring something to the table? People that are experienced, people that have been doing this shit for a while could sniff right away if somebody's not being genuine or they're just trying to be on some slimy shit.
Yes.
You know, you got to be true to yourself, to who you are. You got to bring shit to the table. If you say you're going to show up at a place, you show up at the place. If you say you're going to deliver something, you deliver something. And people remember that. People will remember you because of your word, because of your work ethic, because of your empathy. That stuff is very important.
It's funny you say that because just a gentleman that we're working with now that gets us like, excuse me, he gets his different activations and things like that. And when I first started with him, same thing. He was like, hey, this activation is going to cost, you know, X, Y, Z. You know, it was a pretty big amount. And he sent over the contract, and literally that same day, we paid it because that's the only thing I know. It's like, you send me an invoice, I'm paying it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, time went on, and he told me, like, later on, you know, months later down the line, he told me, he's like, you know what? One thing I respect about you, he's like, I don't tell people this too many people this, but he's like, the fact that I sent you the invoice and you paid it right away says so much about you. He's like, you don't understand how many companies, people I deal with, like, we send invoices and we're constantly.
They sit on them.
Yeah, and they sit on them. So he's like, that says to me a lot about a person. It's like, because me, I don't like to owe anybody anything. Mm-hmm. And if I do owe somebody, I feel bad. I'm like, oh man, my bad. I'm going to send it right now. You know, it's like, sometimes we all forget, you know what I mean? But it's just.
Your word is your pride.
Exactly. It's all about principle.
So Lil Wayne said, word is my pride.
But it's the truth. You know, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, you know, that's all we have at the end of the day. It's like our word.
Wait, so you were cutting up Diddy and Jay-Z? You moved past that pretty quick, like it was nothing.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, before I got into the products and stuff like that, as a barber, ironically enough, like just networking, you know, I met this gentleman by the name of Curtis Smith. He was cutting everybody in New York from, like, at the time, like Allen Iverson, Puff Daddy, like anybody that was going to New York. Curtis Smith was cutting his hair. So I went to New York and I started working on a documentary, believe it or not, on just the evolution of a barber, which I never finished, so nobody take my idea. Mm. But anyways, so I interviewed Curtis Smith, and again, we were just talking, and I came back to Miami, and then one day he calls me. He's like, hey, let me ask a question. He's like, do you have time to go cut Puff? He's in Miami. I'm like, Puff Daddy? He was like, yeah. He was like, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I go over there. He was.
I'll check my schedule.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, let me check my Palm Pilot. I'm free. So then I was like, yeah, I'll do it, no problem. So I go over there, and I walk in, and it's funny because he's like sitting there, like looking at me, like, who's this kid right here, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing usually his barbers are probably like, you know, black or whatever. You know, just I'm this Spanish looking skinny kid walking in there, and he's like, man, this kid's not gonna cut my hair. So I said, hey, Curtis, somebody. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I said, Curtis, somebody, cut your hair. He's like, oh, okay, cool. He was like, I don't really need a haircut. He's like, Playboy, I just need you to line up the back. I was like, all right, cool, no problem.
And he's like, let me start safe. Let me play safe real quick before this motherfucker fucks my shit up.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous or whatever because this is like my first time really cutting like an A-list celebrity.
I'll be fucking shaking.
I was. This was right here in Miami.
And it's Cribbin Star Island?
No, not Cribbin Star Island yet. Later on, I would cut his hair in Star Island, but this is even before he had that crib. It was in a studio called Inner Circle Studio or Inner House or something like that. It's here in Miami. And so anyway, so I start in the back. Then he's like kind of seeing, all right, like this kid kind of knows what he's doing. He's like, all right, just do my sideburns now. I'm like, all right, cool. Then he's like, all right, just kind of clean up my goatee. I was like, all right, cool. Then he's like, all right, can you just tape his sides, the back, the top, bring it down? I was like, oh, okay, this guy really wants a haircut now. So I did all that. And after that, he felt comfortable enough to like fly me out when Curtis couldn't make it to like San Tropez, Ibiza, Spain. We did a whole tour with me, him, and Snoop, where we literally did 30 cities in Europe. And I was just like his barber. Yeah. The funny story is this. I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I really learned one of my biggest lessons in life with him. And I tell this to people all the time because I'm like, I don't think people understand sometimes the reality of what an opportunity is. And so, like, I was starting to get so comfortable with, like, traveling with him. I'd, like, fly again to Europe, to, you know, you name it. I was flying whenever Curtis couldn't make it. And I'm, like, living this life of this rock star next to his rock star because we're, like, literally doing a concert. I'm cutting his hair. After that, the after party, we go, you know, sleep for, like, a couple hours, get on the tour bus, go to the next city. And I'm just having time of my life. And the only thing I have to do is just before the show is cut up his goatee, clean up the back, make sure he just looks good. You know? That was my only job. Yeah. So then we get to Switzerland. And so I would always set up like in the bathroom and stuff like that. So I always have my clippers. And this is before portable clippers were even around. And so, you know, I had my adapters and everything like that to make sure that the power frequency was adequate for the clippers. And so we get to Switzerland and I get to the bathroom. And so I start setting everything up. And I'm like, oh man, there's no outlets in here. All right. So then all of a sudden, I'm just like waiting around, this, that, and the other. And then like probably 15, 20 minutes come by. And up to this point, my relationship with Puff, was like great. Like never had, I've seen him yell at people. Because people always ask me like, how is he a jerk? I'm like, yo, to be honest with me, he's always been great. I've seen him kind of get on people. So I'm like, all right, it's never happened to me. So in my eyes, he's cool.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
So he sits down, and I'm like, hey, yo, Puff. I was like, man, guess what? I was like, hey, yo, Puff, guess what? There ain't no outlets here. And he like got up on his chain. He looked at me, and he was like, he's like, Playboy. He's like, you think it's my fucking job to find an outlet? He's like, yo, figure this shit out. Yeah. He's like, get your ass. He's like, what'd he say? He's like, go figure it out. Talk to production. Talk to somebody. He's like, I brought you here to cut my hair. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And he got up and left. He's like, in 10, 15 minutes, I'll be back for a haircut.
That's a valuable lesson.
Bro, at that point, when I tell you my whole life flashed before my eyes, I was like scared, nervous. I didn't know what the fuck. I was like,
like, sorry, Dad.
I was like, yo, this shit just got real. Like, I'm not going out to, like, yo, I got to figure this shit out. So I started going to production. I was like, I started to get on my Puff Daddy shit. Yeah. I was like, yo, where the fuck are the outlets? I was like, I need extension cords. Like, I need shit to happen right now because I'm about to get flown right back home.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I started getting, like, proactive, you know, and that's what he said. He's like, yo, you need to get proactive, Playboy. He's like, you can't just be waiting on me to cut my hair and then I get here and there ain't no outlet. He was like, yo, he's like, get that shit done. Figure this shit out. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, all right. And so then finally, yeah, we got some extension cords just there. And then it came back. And it was like, I promise you, it was almost like he forgot. He just cussed me out. And I just started cutting his hair and stuff like that. So I tell people that story because at the end of the day, sometimes people get too complacent and they forget everybody's role. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, even let's say when you're a CEO, that happens a lot just because sometimes you work with people that you get, you know, they your best friends or they're cool with you, things like that. And sometimes you have to like let people understand, like, I'm not trying to be an asshole, I'm not trying to be a dickhead, but unfortunately this is what I need. And like, I don't have time for us to go back and forth. Like, I got other shit to worry about than to.
That's why I pay my invoices fast.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's funny enough, not to stick with Puff, but he said something. He was like, you know what the biggest hustle is? He's like, you know what the grand hustle is? He's like, to work so fucking hard that you pay people to do shit you don't want to fucking do. He's like, that's the biggest hustle.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. It's like, why do we work hard? Why do we pay people? It's because obviously we want to alleviate some of the stuff that we don't want to do to be able to be creative and to make other decisions and to figure out how you could actually maximize whatever you have going on.
Yeah, because it's all about how much data you let into your brain on a daily basis. Puff can't sit down and be like, oh, there's no outlet. He doesn't have time for that shit. Everybody has the same 24 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, that was probably my biggest lesson in life right there, just because it's reality, man. It's like we all, and again, I raised my hand. I was the first one. I was like, we get comfortable, bro. We get so comfortable. We're like, ah, we're cool. Everything's cool. But there's a thin line between business and friendship. You know what I'm saying? And you got to make sure, like, when you cross over to that business, and it's business, like, we got to do first business. When it's friendship, we could cut it up, chop it up. We could have fun. We could have a good time. But when it's business, like, this is what needs to get done. Let's just do it.
And it's also about, like, what you were just saying, because in a moment like that, you could get the rug pulled from under you, and your whole reality could change. And if your money isn't right, you haven't been saving, you haven't been investing in yourself, like, that's where, like, you could collapse.
Bro,
no matter how many tours you've been on, either you're with Puff or you're with Snoop or Jay-Z, whoever you were with, that shit there could fuck you up.
Everything. Could you imagine all of a sudden this guy sends me home? And then all of a sudden he tells, like, because Snoop was on the tour with us, so he starts telling Snoop. And then before you know it, because that was the other thing, I was starting to cut a lot of celebrities because of Puff. Like, I cut Jay-Z, I cut Nas, things like that. Wow, so it was like,
legends of hip-hop,
artists
bro.
Would just come to his house and I'd be there, be like, hey, can you cut up this guy? Can you cut up this guy? And it's like, all right, like, I wouldn't even know who some of these artists were. You know, like, sometimes, like, one of my friends would be like, he's like, hey, did you know that's, like, A$AP Rocky? I'm like, I don't even know who that is. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't so caught up in the music aspect of it. I was just like, hey, I'm a barber. This is my job. This is what I got to do.
What was the catalyst, right? So you're hanging out with all these guys, you're doing business with all these guys, right? You're learning from them. Because for me, the biggest thing, like, I would have done that shit for free. Just to be around and see how they speak and how they articulate and how they build relationships. But how did that turn into this, into Pacino's?
And that's a great question. To be honest, like I said, man, like, I don't mean to keep bringing up Puff, but he, for me, is probably still, like, my biggest mentor, because I saw this guy. I started moving like him in the sense, I'm like, yo, why am I just going to stop at a barbershop, right?
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, it's like, he has his artists, he has his, you know, his music and things like that. He's a producer. But when he came out with Ciroc, like, I actually, at my nightclubs, because I used to cut his hair, I wanted to support it. So the nightclubs I was promoting, I was like, yo, we have to have Ciroc here. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even know this, but I was like, yo, we, like, I gotta support the guy who supports me.
Right.
I'm like, I started doing these Ciroc parties in West Palm Beach, like, you name it. Like, it was all about Ciroc.
Ciroc boys.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I was like all about it, because I was like, I'm a real loyal person. I'm like, yo, if you support me, I'm gonna support you.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was already just doing that on my own. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Now is a good opportunity for me to start really doing, like, my Ciroc thing, you know, where it's like, I get my products, because I started seeing, like, man, we go to different countries and they got Ciroc. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and in the barbering industry, at the time, I already started kind of making a name for myself because I was utilizing MySpace, Facebook, and then Instagram. And, you know, I noticed I had a following. So I said, you know what? I've always wanted to come out with my own products. I said, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And so what I did was actually stop doing the nightclub promotions to give me enough time to start just focusing on my brand. And basically, that's all I did. I said, you know what? I got to make sure it looks classic. It looks clean. It just really, like, I feel happy. I didn't want something that was going to be, like, with graffiti, and it was cool for now. But then later on, it just looked like, all right, that looks like old school.
You want a timeless, like Super Mercedes. Timeless.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Super, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And for me, everything's always been, like, you know, simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest thing with my brand. I just wanted it to be real nice and clean and simple.
What was the first product of Pacino's?
My pomade.
Yeah?
The pomade and then the matte.
So, and the mat.
Yeah, the pomade was, like, again, one of the biggest reasons, because it used to work on me. And then all of a sudden, when I found out there was a matte paste that would still give you a hold, but wouldn't give you, like, that shiny look. Because the more shine you get, the easier it is to start looking through your scalp, you know, to be able to see your scalp. So then when the matte came out, I didn't think it was going to do anything, to be honest. But I knew I needed it, because there was people that wanted to style their hair, but they just didn't want that wet look.
Right.
And so when we came out with that, that thing just exploded. And now, to be honest with you, at Target, in sales, if you go in the men's valley where they sell all men's hair care, that one ranks at number 4 in sales in men's in the men's hair category.
That has?
Yeah, in sales, bro. Like, that right there. And then our pomade ranks at, like, number 11. So those are, like, our 1-2 punch that have, like, just done really well at Target stores.
Where did you start selling first before you were a rock star?
No, I'm not a rock star, but no, before.
The fuck you mean you're not a rock star? You sell it.
I mean, listen, before, well, here's the thing. It's like, for me, it's like, I've always just felt like if I push this brand enough, somebody's going to take notice. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. I started creating, like, I literally started creating tours, right? What I would do is I would basically, like, rent a van, and it would be me and 3 other guys, and we'd go city to city. We'd start in Miami, go from Miami, Atlanta, the Carolinas, you know, the D.C., New York. Then we go to Buffalo. Then we go to New York City, then to Buffalo, then to, like, Chicago. Then from there, we, like, fly to Vegas, get a rental there, and then start going, you know, Vegas, San Diego, and then up the West Coast. And we would do classes. I would rent out an event space at a hotel, and it would be for only 50 people. And by the time we got there, I can't even make this up, I have videos of it, it was like standing room only. And we're like, there's no chairs. They're like, we don't care, we just want the class.
We just want to learn.
Yeah, we just want to learn. So we're doing, you know, we're doing haircuts, things like that. And so doing that, I caught the attention of a gentleman that basically sells to Target. So they reached out to me, and they were like, hey, we wanted to know if you might be interested in, you know, selling your products to Target. And I was like, I hung up. And then my boys were like, who is that? I was like, I don't know. They were talking about maybe selling to Target. They're like, bro, what did you say? I was like, nah, I think it was somebody bullshitting with me.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, they were like, call him back. So then I called back, and they were like, yeah, I don't know if the line got caught up. I was like, yeah, I don't know what happened either.
Yeah.
I was like, but
these damn telephone lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, but what do you mean about Target? And they were like, yeah, we have to pitch the Target. So they're looking for a men's brand. We wanted to know if you were interested. So at the time, I thought, I was like, oh, this is great, I'm a shoe in. No, I had to actually fly to Jersey. And I was one of 5 other brands that was pitching in order for them to say, okay, we're going to pick one of you guys, and then we're going to fly to Minneapolis to present to Target. And at the time, I didn't know this, but later on, years went by, and I found out that the reason they picked me, because I asked the guy by the name, the guy that discovered me, his name is Ryan. I asked Ryan, I was like, yo, let me ask you a question. I remember the other people that were there, because when I was leaving, there was a brand there that I had seen at other, you know, hair shows.
Right.
And his dad owns, like, this huge company that also sells gel and things like that. So they were a lot more prepared than I was. So I was like, I asked him, I was like, I wasn't really prepared. I was like, but why'd you guys choose me?
Culture.
No, not only the culture. No. He's like, to be honest with you, he's like, no other brand was doing what you were doing. I was like, what was that? He was like, all your social media stuff. He's like, that for me is where sealed the deal. He's like, because everything that you're doing, I know for a fact is gonna work. He's yeah. like, all those tours that you're doing, all that content that you're creating, he's like, that's what Target needs. He's because mm-hmm. and I even told him, I was like, well, people are telling me that.
Because they need help marketing too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, well, everybody keeps telling me like 75% of the shoppers at Target are women. So how are we going to win that space? And he was like, what you're doing, there's a need for it. It'll happen.
Yeah.
And sure enough, and he had just got that position to be able to pitch like that. And a lot of his colleagues are like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And now to this day, we hang out, and he still laughs about it. He's like, I walk into that office now, and everybody just looks at me. Because he hasn't just done it with my brand. He's done it with other brands also.
Right.
You know, in the women's space as well. So, you know, again, he's almost like an A&R of music, where you see talent, you're like, look, yeah. this kid has something.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happened with me. It's like, when I went in there, it was like, everybody would tell me, like, that's not going to work in Target. You know, and the thing about it is my product is what we call premium mass, meaning like my matte paste is a 4 ounce. It doesn't sell for like $3.99, $4.99, $5.99. It sells for $15.99, yeah. $16 mm-hmm. for a product. Yeah. Now, which at the time people are not going to buy that. But again, at the end of the day, it just comes back to the marketing and the content and the quality.
Yeah. And men's purchasing behavior has evolved drastically since then, time, I imagine. Yeah.
Yep. And that was the other thing. I got started like right before like the whole No Shave November, when that like blew up and everybody started to grow out their beard. Like right before that whole like No Shave November thing happened, I already had my products, you know. But again, my winning products aren't even beard products. You know, my winning products are my hair products. Well, with the exception of my beard pencil filler, that actually is doing really well. So.
So question for you, for somebody at home that's watching this and is heavily inspired by your story, Eric, what are a few things, maybe a handful of things that you recommend to somebody who's looking to start a consumer package brand that wants to get out there? What are the pillars that they should have like locked in before they even consider maybe doing an approach to one of these big retailers?
That's a good question. I'd say the first thing is really understand what you're trying to sell. That's mm-hmm. just number one. Like, and when I say that, meaning like when I first got into it, people were like, oh, well, you can make more money selling women's product. Well, guess what? At the time, I really didn't know a lot about women's product. Now mm-hmm. I know a lot more, obviously. But at the time, I just was fixated on men's product. That was my passion. That's the first thing, is go with your passion, mm-hmm. right? The second thing is understanding, you know, who your demographic is. Like,
right.
who are you trying to sell to? At the end of the day, it's like, just because you see me doing it, and then you want to do it, but do you understand who you're trying to sell to?
Yeah.
So I'd say.
And why they're buying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So definitely just, you know, what is your real passion to do? Number one. Second thing I'd say, you know, just understand the demographic. And then three, understand, you know, how important the marketing and the content is, you know, because they go hand in hand, believe it or not. You know, obviously the content, you have to create it. And mm-hmm. it's not easy. And it's a pain in the butt. I pay videographers. You know, people always ask me like, oh, I see you with different videographers. I'm like, because videographers are like, you know, They're just, it's hard to find really good ones. And then when you do find a good one, guess what? Other people want to use them too. So mm-hmm. it's like, I have like four or five different videographers that sometimes I work with because I call one. He's like, oh, I'm booked. I have to do this. All right, I call the next one. So content is king, obviously. But then mm-hmm. once you get that content, you know, understanding how to put it on either your platform organically or how to do what you said, which was, you know, Facebook ads and understanding how to like really put your content in front of your audience.
Right.
Which is real key. And I had to learn Facebook ads.
Like, yeah.
I went to an agency and they started to do my Facebook ads. But I'm the type of guy like, I want to know what you're doing, right? So I'd go home.
So you know how to delegate or direct?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd go home, I'd watch YouTube videos mm-hmm. and then I'd come back and I would tell the girl that was like managing my account, hey, let's try this strategy.
Yeah.
And then my strategy started working and then she told me that at that agency, they'd be like, hey, we're going to do the Pacino strategy. They actually started like naming my strategies, the Pacino strategies, to tell the, you know, these other, you know, reps, not reps, but I guess marketing strategists, what to do with these other accounts, you know, because again, like YouTube, look, Google and YouTube, man, you can find out so many things. It's not even fun.
Everything,
you know, and that's how I learned how to do Facebook ads. That's later on during the pandemic, just to give an example of, you know, even at my age, you know, and already having a, you know, semi-successful company, when the pandemic hit, I'll never forget this. It was about March of 2020 when it hit. I remember looking at our Amazon because I'm like, man, everything's going to go online because they're shutting down Target stores. Mm-hmm. They're shutting everything down because I don't know if you guys remember, they were rioting. So it was like this big thing where they shut down all brick and mortars. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure out this Amazon thing. Our sales were at $7,000 gross in March. I kid you not. I sat there. We all went home and started working from home. Every night, I would get on YouTube and try to figure out how can I start getting my products on the first page. But I'd say June, we were doing $125,000 a month gross sales because I learned how to do Amazon ads and because I learned how to get my product onto the first page. And then at that point, now we, you know, we basically, you know, sell it to a distributor to sell our products on Amazon. But I basically built a whole nother business within my business just with Amazon.
Yeah. So what I'm catching from everything you're saying is have quality product, understand who you're selling to, why they're buying, create great content.
Absolutely.
Understand that social media is important, right?
Yep.
What else am I missing?
Ads.
Ads, right? Understand marketing.
You got to pay to play. You have to pay to play. Like, I don't care. Like, if with all due respect, but if you're that cheap guy that thinks everything has to be a quick ROI, you're never gonna make it. Like, no. I'll be honest, I've never thought about like how much money can I make. Like, I don't even look at what I spend sometimes on marketing because with me, obviously I have my accountant, and you know, sometimes I should be like, hey, listen, you're spending a little bit too much in this area or that area. But for me, it's like I'd rather spend as much as I can into marketing before anything else.
Absolutely. You got to get products in hands because once people try them, like you posted a video the other day, Latin singer, Colombian singer, Silvestre Dangond.
Yes.
You handed him, like, first of all, you handed him this nice ass briefcase. Yeah. Looked like you were delivering him some like Mission Impossible, like fucking, he opens it and there's like your products in there and he's like blown away. He's like, I'm a client of yours. Yeah. And you're just standing there like, damn.
Yeah.
Like that was mind blowing, man.
That was beyond mind blowing. That was just like a surreal moment for me because
this man sells out arenas like around the world.
Yeah, no, my distributor in Colombia calls me right away when he sees the video. He's like, Pacinos, tú sabes que ese man es como el Michael Jackson de Colombia. And I was like, man, yo sabía que era grande, pero yo no sabía que era Michael Jackson. He's like, no, I said todo el mundo en Colombia lo quiere esto lo otro, and it just happened organically. And again, it happened because of my guy right here. You know, we went, he had a podcast with him. And so we went to...
You were interviewing him that day.
Yeah, he was interviewing him that day. Yep.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, good
shit, man.
He always go to the interviews with me. And, you know, we create the connection with the artist, you know, because...
I love how you guys support each other. I fuck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that's guys. How it works. You know?
Yeah, you guys are good friends. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
And because, you know, men care products are very important for artists, you know, and they love Pacinos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, because most of our audience here in the States, right, and in Europe, but you're in the biggest stores in Colombia. Like, you're in the equivalent of, like, Walmart, like Target, but over there.
In Colombia, we're in Éxito and Carulla. And we just launched this year, but to be honest, we were supposed to be in there before the pandemic happened. And then when the pandemic happened, it was just, you know, everything, you know, shut down, and then they weren't too sure. But that was like my biggest goal, to be honest, is to be in Colombia because my parents are from Colombia. They're from Bogota.
Right.
So out of like every country that's out there, even including, you know, the U.S., I was like, man, I just got to like make it to Colombia. And finally, we're in Colombia. Like, my parents literally moved from Colombia. They came to the United States, to New York City. Bro, they slept in Flushing Meadows Parks for 2 weeks. So my thing has always been like, yo, if my parents made it.
In the park?
In Queens, New York.
Damn.
In the Flushing Meadows Park. Like, for 2 weeks, they had nowhere to stay. You know? And so then...
You've come a long way. You pulled up in a Lambo today.
Yeah.
Your parents must be proud, man. Yeah, I'm happy to hear that story.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, like, my mom, like, I bought her already, you know, Jaguar, Mercedes-Benz, bought them a house and stuff
you
like that.
You should see the video for her mother's birthday.
For my mother's birthday.
Yeah, that's an inspirational video. Yeah. So I almost cry watching the video.
I'll probably cry.
Yeah.
I'm just, to be honest, like, for me, it's like... I don't think anything in this life means anything if you're not able to give back to those who, like, really were there for you.
Yeah, you know what? Because at least for my first years in business, when you know I was making a little bit of money, it was all right. I was really focused on making a lot of money. But then as you start getting older, you start realizing that your folks are getting older.
Yes.
Some people maybe that you love are starting to, you know, move away or start, you know, eventually, unfortunately, becoming ill. And then you start really realizing, okay, you know, the money and the business is important, but what I make from that, I need to make sure that I spend enough time with my family, that I instill values, especially if, you know, you want to have kids or you want to grow a family, like what values do we want to carry moving forward? And what values or what mindsets do we want to leave behind?
Of course.
Right. That way we could evolve as a family. And it's an inspirational story to know that, you know, your parents left Colombia, came to the United States, had to sleep in a park for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. You come and you start a business here.
Yep.
After your mom took you in after you came back from the Navy,
absolutely.
So, you know, that you could have not done anything. You could have just fucking chilled.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now you blew up here, but you went back.
Went back
to the crib and you killed it over there. And now you're expanding. So I like that. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm just a firm believer of like, you take care of those people who take care of you. Like even the guy who first started with me, he was like my partner doing these nightclubs. It's funny. Funny story about him real quick is I was already a barber cutting hair at this salon, and he used to go to not high school at the time. I think he was in middle school, just going like, I think he was like eighth grade or something like that. He came to my barbershop with his friend and they asked for a haircut. And at the time I was charging $12 for a haircut. I guess they used to pay like $8 to the guy that used to sit in the other chair. And so I got done cutting their hair and they were like, hey man, cause I was like, hey, it's $12. And then he was like, hey, I only got $8. So I was like, you know what? That's fine. I was like, just give me the $8. And so this is like the first time I meet this kid. Then all of a sudden he keeps, you know, coming around to come get haircuts. I start doing these nightclubs and then he starts going and starts taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hey, you know, do you mind taking pictures for my party and I'll pay you? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Then all of a sudden he starts opening up his MySpace and MySpace comes around. I'm like, hey, you're pretty good at that. Can you help me with MySpace? He's like, no problem. So he starts uploading my pictures. Now I'm doing these nightclubs and I have to travel with Puff overseas. So I'm like, look, I'm not going to be here this much. So I said, can you just run the parties for me and I'll put you as my partner? You know, whatever I make from the door, like you get 50%, you'll be my partner on these parties. And so he stuck with me doing all these parties. And then in 2012, when I said, all right, I'm not doing no more parties. I'm done with this. I'm just going to focus on my brand. I said, yo, you can have the parties. You have all my money. Mm-hmm. You know, you and the DJ, who's my other partner. I was like, you guys can just have it. He was like, bro, if you're out, I'm out. So I started working for this company called Shoes for Cruise, doing telemarketing calls. And
know that company. Yeah.
Yeah. So we would always mess with him like, hey, man, we're going to go to lunch. And he's a big guy. So like, I'd be like, yo, are you hungry? He's like, bro, look at me. You think I'm hungry? Of course I'm hungry. He's like, what time are you guys going? I'm like, well, can you leave now? He's like, man, let me see what I could do. So he tried to like leave early just to hang out with us because, you know, we had like a pretty strong bond. And so then I told him one day, I was like, man, you know, I really want to start doing my products and I'm starting to like get booked a lot. I was like, I want you to manage me because people really want to book me to get to these like hair events. I'll pay you only $200 a week, but any type of bookings that I get, I'll give you a 20% commission.
Yeah,
I'll give you 20% commission on that. So he was like, all right, let me think about it. And then he calls me next day. He's like, all right, what time do I have to be at your house? I was like, be at my house at 9:00 in the morning. Ever since that day, he's been with me now for almost 10 years, bro.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like that to me meant everything. This year was his birthday. I bought him like a brand new BMW, paid for like 2022. I was like, here, this is yours. I was like, all you got to do is just pay for your insurance.
Of course.
And so, you know.
So again, leaders do. Leaders create leaders.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just been like a great.
Whenever you want to buy me a BMW, I'm game, bro.
I got you. Stick with me for 10 years,
nah,
man.
I'm fucking with you, man.
Nah, but you know, again, I'm grateful for him because, again, to be honest, I say it all the time. Like, without him, I probably wouldn't be in this situation because I'm the visionary and I could see things and I'm real creative. But you still need a team. You know, I could never do this by myself.
Hell no.
And he was a big part of my team. Yeah. He was like that pillar. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be out there, like, networking, shaking hands, doing all the cool stuff. But then back at the office, he was there holding down the fort.
That's like Michelle for me from my team. You know, everybody sees me on camera. Everybody sees me in the media. But she's holding down my entire agency, like, staff of 17.
Yes.
And I'm over here on the – she's right now on a computer now in her office, like, killing it while we're doing this. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely, yep.
Question, how long has this brand been alive?
So
– Chinos.
I'd say – since 2012, it's been 10 years now that we started it. But I'd say our biggest break was probably like in 2016 when we got on Target.com.
Okay.
So more people have known about it probably since like 2016, but we've been around since 2012, like just selling into barbershops And it was tough. I'm not going to lie. Like, I remember, like, going into my shoebox and getting all my little, you know, dollars I saved from the nightclub and things like that, and putting it into the bank to be able to pay Sergio. Sometimes I couldn't even pay him. I'd be like, hey, look, I'm going to get you, you know, the following paper, you know, paper. He's like, that's fine. Yeah. So, yeah, you know,
real bootstrap. Real bootstrap.
Yeah, absolutely. We started from ground zero.
Now, to finalize, you're in all these great locations. Do you have anything on your wish list of anywhere you would like your products to ultimately be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say probably just, I want to tap into Asia. Well, we actually got into Asia. We were in Loft Stores, and there's another store called, like, in Japan. But I think I just, you know, the next step is probably looking to Asia, because we're in Europe now and we're in the UAE. So I think probably Asia is probably, like, the next step I'm trying to get out there.
I like that.
Yeah.
Odo, thanks for introducing us, man.
Oh, bro. Thank you for your goodbye, bro. I love your content. Energy, and you're very young, and you're doing a great job, bro.
Yeah, you are young.
You're
man.
A genius.
Thank you,
yeah,
man.
You're very
thank
young,
you.
Bro. Like, to be yeah. able to
I love learning from guys like you. Like, you know, that's why I do this podcast, you know? People are learning with me. So whoever's listening right now, watching, they're learning from what you're talking about. But for me, like, I'm learning. Like, this is absolutely. A very special moment for me, because I get to ask these questions, and I get to learn from people who have done it already. Yeah. You know, I'm 28 years old. I have a whole lot to learn. Yeah. You know, I don't have it all figured out yet, but I feel like I'm on the right track.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Things are going, you know, in a positive direction.
And I think it's funny that you're saying all this, because what happens with all of us, I think sometimes we hit like that hurdle where we just kind of like aren't as motivated, aren't as inspired. And sometimes it is good to speak to people and be like, man, you know, it like re-inspires you. Like, I called my videographer yesterday. He lives in New York, one of them, because my guy in Miami, again, he was booked. So I called my guy Steven in New York, and I'm like, hey, are you able to fly to Miami? I got a video shoot tomorrow that I need you for. And he's like, yeah, no problem. He's like, you know what's so funny, man? He's like, these are the phone calls I always need, man. He's like, when you call me for some reason, bro, it just like changes like my whole mindset, and it like reminds me why I do this. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you'll be surprised. Sometimes just calling people and just chopping it up with them, like, you know, they reevaluate everything that they have going on. They're like, man, I should be thankful for what I do have, because there's people out there that don't have anything. And when I say don't have anything, meaning like no jobs,
no opportunities,
nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's always good to network and just meet people with good, positive energy.
And people that are real too, man, because, you know, sometimes you wake up, you don't want to work. You feel, you know, under down, the weather, sorry, you feel down, you feel sad. And then you see other people are pushing through, killing it. Like this past weekend, I was at a mastermind where like a ton of agency owners and marketers meet, and they do hundreds of millions of dollars a year in sales. All these successful guys. And that day I was having a shit day. I'm like, guys, I made a fuckload of money this last month, and I feel like shit. I'm sad. Good. Like, shit's just not adding up.
Yep.
And they were just like, bro, we feel that shit all the time. It's just go to the fucking gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to Pilates. Go to kickboxing. That's go do true, something man. Like. Get moving. Yeah. One of the guys, what he does is he has a trampoline. And when he's feeling down,
he starts jumping.
He's like, there's no way you can not smile or feel energetic on the trampoline. Man, so everybody has their tricks, you know?
Yeah. We have a trampoline at my house too for my kids. And I didn't think about that. I actually try that.
Go out whenever you're low energy, like go out there and jump like fucking crazy and come back in the office and kill it.
Yeah. You're right, man. It's like.
Or just ride through the palmetto. And that's it.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of, you know, adrenaline.
Yep. Or have a cafecito down here.
Yeah, I don't drink cafecito. Gives me the shakes.
Yeah, no, you got your nice teeth, man. You don't want to get them.
It's not about the teeth. I just never drank coffee. Coffee gives me the shakes.
Yo, hey, Mauro, Eric, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
It's really dope that you were here today, because I didn't expect you to be here, and you're somebody I respect a lot.
That's awesome.
Thank you
so much. I just came to put the products, you know, right? On the table, and you invited me, and I appreciate that.
Hell yeah. No, and thank you to Pacino's. Make sure you guys check out Pacino's and Target. That. Online, what's the website?
Pacinosproducts.com. You can find us here in the United States in Target, Walgreens, HEB. We're about to launch in a Kroger. We're in Rite Aid. We're in Tom's, Myers, Fred Myers. Yeah.
You're insane, man. What about socials? Where can people keep up with you? Because you're active.
At Pacinos, Pacinos.
Okay.
Yeah, no H, just Pacinos.
Yeah. Mauro, we're checking con Mauro. First of all, make sure if you speak Spanish and you like entertainment, you like content, you like anything related to the entertainment industry, checking con Mauro, you can find it on all streaming platforms. You want to check the video podcast out, check it on Spotify, one of the only ones in the space.
Yeah.
Where else can we find you, man?
Bro, right now I'm focused on Spotify because they give me the opportunity to, you know, to be one of the first creators, you know, putting the content. And you know, I think that it's is bringing value to, you know, to the artists that are invited to my podcast. And for now, you can find me on all platforms, but the video version is only available on Spotify. You can, you know, find it as Checking Con Mauro. And I'm on Instagram at Mauro Londono, like London plus O, Mauro Londono.
Yeah. So checking, like checking in, checking con, C-O-N, like that's with in
Spanish.
Yeah,
that's my checking Latin con
Mauro
part. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, of course. All right, y'all. This is Hustle Inspires Hustle. We're in Miami today honoring Pacino's and honoring these two great guys. Thank you so much for listening in. If you guys want to check out the websites that we talked about or their social medias, go on your streaming platform. On the About section, you'll find the show notes, or you could go to hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast, find the episode page, and learn about everything that we spoke about here today. See you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's A-L-E-X-Q-U-I-N. See you on the next episode.